Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Because I am an unconventional candidate running an unconventional campaign and achieving some unexpected, unconventional results in terms of the poll, we believe that, yes, there are some people who are Democrats, liberals, who do not want to see me win the nomination. And there could be some people on the right who don't want to see me because I'm not the quote unquote establishment candidate. No evidence.
He's 100% right, and welcome to the Savage Nation. So I'm going to ask a question. Have Cain's own advisors set him up for a fall? And I'm going to discuss this from my perspective a little later on. And the reason I ask this is because I've seen advisors before working against the candidate. Here is a man who was nobody until he came on this show, and now they're telling him, don't come on this show. And when you're accused, instead of coming back to your audience, you go to the slimy limey, you go to the sickos on CNN, you go to the freaks on MSNBC, you go to those who are going to rip you to shreds, but never go back to your base. So who's advising Herman Cain? I'm going to talk about that. And there are other stories. Why do you think Herman Cain has gone on mostly unfriendly shows in order to refute the harassment allegations against him by the Soviet Politico? I think that Cain is being misadvised by his handlers. And it leads me to believe that Herman Cain may not be a good enough liar to be the president. In other words, he's too honest to be the president. He's not sufficiently skilled at lying to be president. And in order to be president, he's got to learn how to lie better. Now, I have to ask you, who do you think poses more of a danger to America, Herman Cain's personal life or Barack Hussein Obama's cronyism? Do you even have to answer that question? Look at these cowardly men at Associated Press. Look at these little tiny men, these little nobodies. Look how they're trying to tear apart Herman Cain, but they have nothing to say to Nancy Pelosi about almost $1 billion in loans to her brother-in-law. Not a word to say about $1.2 billion to somebody with another fake solar company. But all of a sudden, like jackals, they attack Herman Cain. I have no words for them other than contemptuous words, which I'm not going to use. Okay? That's one topic. There's another topic, and that is next Wednesday, on November 9th, that's next Wednesday, at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, for the first time in American history, Obama is going to test the National Emergency Alert System. The first time ever, all media outlets will be under the thumb of Barack Hussein Obama's Federal Communications System. Now, it will run on every channel, radio and television. He will control every station in this country. Now, it's true that local and state components of the EAS are tested on a weekly and monthly basis. But not until this tyrant has there ever been an end-to-end nationwide test of the system. His cover story is that he needs to find out that the national system to control radio and television will work should the government need to send an alert or warning to a large region or the entire country. Do you believe that? Do you actually believe that's the reason that Obama is conducting the first ever national test of emergency alert system for November 9th? You're living through very strange times. Nothing's ever happened like this before. We have never had a naked tyrant in the White House as we do now, and he's getting away with it. Cronyism, $1 billion to this friend, $900 million to that friend. Corzine works for a company, $900 million goes missing. We hear there's going to be an investigation. Where's the SEC? There is no SEC. We've never had a more corrupt country, government in history. Now, in the middle of all of this, the questionable Mark Potok, in my opinion, a homegrown terrorist, the Southern Poverty Law Center, to me it's a terrorist group unto itself, attacks a group of old men in the South because they started shucking castor beans. That's right. And Mark Potok, who has destroyed lives before, in my estimation, with the so-called bogus Southern Poverty Law Center, A, they're not impoverished. B, they're just a bunch of greedy left-wing fanatical lawyers. They're saying there's a homegrown terror group in Georgia, old men who are growing castor beans. And then he starts to pile on and says they're part of a militia group, and these groups are dangerous because they're heavily into neo-Confederate activities. The last I checked, neo-Confederate activities were not known to be related to terror, unless you're Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center, for whom there's no such thing as a good white man who was in the military, and for whom there's no such thing as a dangerous Islamist, in my estimation. So that's what they're doing, throwing the smoke in your eyes about Cain and about guys growing castor beans. And now they're testing the emergency test system next week. And then we hear Netanyahu is rallying support for an Iran attack. I don't believe it at all. I believe it's a feign. Israel may have test-fired a Jericho missile. They're never going to attack Iran. I believe they're going to attack Syria. And I believe that it'll be a joint NATO-U.S.-Israel attack of Syria. And all hell will break loose, which leads me to a feeling I have. A feeling. Do you feel, as I do, that there's about to be some major cataclysm, either a war or a natural disaster? It seems that we're sitting in the middle of the eye of a hurricane. Everything is too calm. Something is going to happen. Now, I'm not going to say to you that I know for sure there's going to be a meteorite that hits a meteorite on the size of the alleged meteor that hit Siberia in 1908, or the size of the meteor that hit in northern Arizona. No, I didn't say that, but I have a feeling, it's a pure intuitive feeling, that there's about to be some major cataclysm, either a war or a natural disaster. I feel it. I have no reason to feel it. I have no reason to know it. It's pure intuition. Something's going to happen. At least I feel that way, and I don't even know if I should share it with you. It's just a feeling. Sometimes I'm overly rational. Sometimes I'm basically telling you what my feelings are. So today is another very hot day here in San Francisco, perhaps one of the last of the Native American summer days, where the water is dead calm on the bay, and it takes on a color that I love called China Blue. And so here I am in San Francisco. Teddy is with me in the studio. And on the way to the studio, I decided that living well is the best revenge, and I stopped for lunch. Normally, I eat lunch alone. I don't talk to anybody. I do a takeout, watch TV, and ruminate on what I want to talk about. But the day was kind and calm, so I walked from the studio up to the North Beach restaurant, and I sat outdoors with my friend Lorenzo drinking a club soda. Teddy was enjoying himself, and I watched the parade of people go by. His restaurant is right next to a Chinese health clinic. A free clinic. I forget the name of it. It's funded by the city, the state, and the federal government. And hordes of people come in and out of that clinic, smiling. They're smiling because everything Mao Zedong promised them, they now receive from dumb, broken America. Everything they were promised in Mao Zedong's China, which of course they never got, they get for free here in America from stupid, dumb, broken America. Happy, happy faces. Happy, happy, happy. Free, free, free. Child care, elder care. How many are U.S. citizens? No problem. No matter. Because what Mao Zedong promised, okay, San Francisco delivers in stupid, dumb America. I couldn't take it anymore. So I said, I have to go inside and eat. I don't even want to look at this anymore. It's getting me sick. I never saw so many people going in and out of a clinic. They look so healthy, so happy. Who do you think's paying, idiot? Why do you think we're broke? Now, if this were the only clinic, it'd be one thing, but it's one of many. There are thousands of such clinics across America. Most of them are mills, Medicare mills. Florida just broke a bunch of them, but you never saw them broken here in California, have you? And you won't see them broken here in California, because here we have Governor Jerry Brown, for whom there's no such thing as too many health clinics. And so I went inside to eat, and Teddy ate better than I did. I mean, the food was good, but Lorenzo's a dog lover, so he said, well, what does he want to eat? I said, what do I know what he wants to eat? He cut up some veal for him, and he gave him veal. It was a pleasure to watch. I mean, I had fish. because I've got to watch my saturated fats. Teddy doesn't have any such problems being a pure carnivore. And since his lifespan is probably 15 or 16, I figure let him eat what he wants. I mean, he's not trying to live to be an octogenarian, is he? Now, dog ears, maybe. But nevertheless, boy, did he polish off that veal, I got to tell you. And then we took a walk back down to the radio station, and here I sit. Here I sit. And so I've opened the show with about four different topics, ranging from, do you want me to review them? I can't review them. It's too many of them. It's just what happened to me, what I think about, all the way from Kane to Mark Potok of the corrupt Southern Poverty Law Center, corrupt, in my opinion, in the worst possible way, a power-mad lunatic. The Southern Poverty Law Center, run by a power-mad lunatic, has broken more lives than I can imagine. I remember the Southern Poverty Law Center took on the case of an illegal alien who had invaded a ranch in Texas, and they sued the rancher and stole the ranch from him in court and gave it to the illegal alien. That's the kind of individuals in the Southern Poverty Law Center who just arrested a group of old white men because they were shucking castor beans. And then they said that they're part of a militia group and that they also are into neo-Confederate activities. I guess that's the new enemy of America. 1-800-449-8255. I also talked about the first ever national test of the emergency alert system by Barack Hussein Obama. He can touch the button and turn everybody off at once. Or Big Brother can sit there and give a speech to everybody at once, whether you want to hear it or not, just like in Mao Zedong's China. But then again, I wouldn't be surprised by anything that this man does. He has assaulted the Tea Party, unleashing the most vile mouths in Congress against the Tea Party. If you remember the Congressional Black Caucus, remember them screaming at what they called the Tea Party? They made things up about the Tea Party. Remember they started in August? Those liars, you remember them one after the other? I'm not ashamed to say it. I'll say it until you hear me. They ripped at the Tea Party. The Tea Party has never conducted any violence. They never left feces in the street. They never closed down any businesses. And they warned us. The Congressional Black Caucus warned us, as did Mr. Union came out and attacked the Tea Parties, saying they should be taken out. And now what did they unleash on us? Union thugs, union goons, college goons, and the other assorted riffraff of America taking over and blocking cities across America. This is all part of a master campaign by Barack Hussein Obama, in my estimation, a petty tyrant who, if he is not controlled, will become a major tyrant. Make no mistake about it, we are in very deep trouble. And as I say, it's very calm right now in the world. It's almost too calm. And I can feel it in the air. First ever national test of emergency alert system set for November 9th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, where Barack Obama or one of his stooges can shut down every station in the United States of America with beeps. And perhaps if they wish, they can give us a warning or send us an alert. I wonder what's coming. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I've never seen such low behavior by vermin in the media until I saw them rip apart Kane. The lowest of all is Dana Milbank of the Washington Post, perhaps one of the slimiest journalists in modern American history. Here we have the most corrupt presidency in history. The most corrupt presidency in history. And this rat, Dana Milbank, has the nerve to rip apart Kane, as do the little men, the little weasel men from Associated Press, clamoring to destroy Herman Kane without having the nerve to ask one question of Obama, not one question of Michelle about abusing taxpayers' money on her many junkets abroad. Not one question about the billions of dollars to the fake solar companies. Instead, who did they attack? A courageous, conservative black man named Herman Cain. Now, if you remember this show years ago, there was another incident, several other incidents. Remember Kobe Bryant? You remember what I called the accuser at the time? Rocky Mountain Trash, remember that? Was I wrong? I was right. Rocky Mountain Trash, remember that? They tried to bring down Kobe Bryant. I was stopped in the street by black guys who saluted me for it. They know what I'm saying, and they know I'm right. And then, of course, there was the famous Duke LaCrosse case brought by the Durham Dirtbag. Remember I was the first to call her what she was? a dirtbag who almost destroyed the lives of white men. And the media took her side. The media took the side of the Rocky Mountain white trash who accused Kobe Bryant unfairly. And now what are they doing? And now they're attacking Herman Cain. What did he possibly do? He said something to some overly sensitive hag that worked in a company. He made them uncomfortable. Oh, my, what a world-class crime that is. That really is up there with John Corzine and the $900 million in missing money. That's really up there with Obama granting money in the Energy Department, billions of dollars. That's really up there with $1 billion given out by Pelosi to her brother-in-law. That's really up there with real major league problems. And it just shows you why America hates the media, why America despises these little men, these nun men, these cretins in the media, why they hate them, and why they love Cain. I've never seen anything quite like this. These fake claims, they're all over the country. Here's one in San Francisco. San Leandro settles racial suit with ex-cop. City of San Leandro has agreed to pay $314,000 to a fired African-American police officer who said he was the victim of racial discrimination. Dwayne Stancil, he was a sergeant, but he said he was experiencing harassment after he became a sergeant. And so, therefore, he sued. And he won, a lot of money there. A lot of money, $314,000. All you got to do is say somebody did something. And so there it is. But who is this officer Stancil who just won all this money? Well, he was once a homeless black guy. His father was shot and killed by officers for a crime. Last year, this great officer's son, Dwayne Stancil, was convicted of second-degree murder for fatally shooting a San Leandro High School student. And yet he became a policeman. Became a policeman how? Through affirmative action policies imposed by the, you guessed it, federal government. You must hire more blacks. You must hire more women. Doesn't matter whether they're qualified. And then if you don't promote them, why, they sue. And we take it as an EEOC complaint. And you wonder why this country is in trouble? Because you're living where liberalism, the mental disorder, rules virtually every state, city, and federal decision.
Savage.
So I've got five topics in the air right now. First ever national test of emergency alert system set for November 9th by President Obama, where he can control every station in the country, radio and TV at once. Never done before. The radicals in the media destroying Herman Cain are trying to do so while covering up for Obama's crimes and misdemeanors. Not one press reporter covering one of the scandals. Let's start with one of the scandals. How about Eric Holder? What did he know and when did he know it about guns to Mexico? I mean, after all, somebody was killed. The worst Cain did was say something like, hey, honey, you're cute. So let's compare it. Hey, honey, you're cute to a dead Border Patrol agent. Well, I would say that the dead Border Patrol agent certainly trumps, hey, honey, you're cute. But take a look at these little men, these little worms who go to J school. Look what they come out and run after him with microphones and cameras. Instead of running after Holder wherever he goes and saying, what did you know, when did you know it? Or any of the other crimes and misdemeanors of this administration, they're destroying Cain, or they're trying to. It just shows you why you hate people in the media, why you hate them, rightly so. They are dangerous jackals who have destroyed America. The people who have destroyed America, by the way, are not the politicians. It's the left-wing vermin in the media. Remember that. Remember what I just said. It's the media that dictates what the average schmuck reads or what the average schmuck doesn't read. It's the vermin in the media who determine what the average schmuck hears and sees and reads. That's who destroyed America, by twisting your mind into the stuff that's unimportant and making you forget what really is important. We are bankrupt. We are bankrupt because we have the most corrupt government in American history, giving out money. They can't even print it fast enough. $900 million missing from Corzine's firm? No problem. There'll be no cameras there. Another $1.2 billion to another fake solar company from Obama and the Energy Department? No problem. We won't be there. Why? Because the people who run the media are the lowest of the low. I'm in the media. My ratings are soaring. My books are bestsellers. Ask yourself why their books don't sell. Ask yourself why books published by Democrat politicians go nowhere because the people know they're liars. Ask yourself why books published by so-called big stars in the media never sell, because the people know that they're liars, part of the government media complex. As for what they're doing to Cain, it's sickening to destroy this man like this. Let's take it at its worst. What did he do? Hey, honey, you're cute. Hey, honey, you're cute. I put my arm around you. That's a crime against humanity? Compared with what? The siege of Stalingrad? Are you people crazy? Have you lost all your marbles? Now, as a person who's been victimized by these slime, by being the only member of the American media who was banned from entering England based upon false accusations and selective editing by vermin in the media, I'm speaking almost too personally about what they're doing to Cain. And that's why I wrote Abuse of Power. And if you read that book, there's a very important scene in the beginning where my character, Jack Hatfield, a national TV reporter who has lost his national job because he's been smeared by a left-wing fanatical group along the lines of Media Matters, funded by George Soros, all fictional, of course, is smeared by the press during a press conference. The FBI smears him, the local police smear him, and the others laugh at him and ridicule him. It's one of the best scenes in the book. It's extremely well written, but it's also how the press works. They're cowards. They're jackals. They have no independence. They do only what they're told to do by the old communists who run the news bureaus. The ugly men with the big Coke bottle glasses, all of whom either went to NYU or Columbia. You understand? They grew up in Brooklyn. Red diaper doper babies. And they tell the little boys who go to J school who to destroy and who to build up. And that's why America is destroyed. It's the journalists who have destroyed America, not the politicians. Because if they truly were the fourth estate, these politicians would never have been elected, and these politicians would have been unelected. But because the media, which is supposed to be the fourth estate, has instead become the fifth estate, we are now marching not only to a different drummer, but to a left-wing fascist drummer as well. Follow the bouncing ball. Let's go to the callers. New York City calls, WOR. Daniel, you're first up. Go ahead, please.
This dirty, disgusting demonization of Herman Cain from the Democratic Libs, it's a national disgrace. The Dems have been...
All right, you're breaking up. My screener should have done a better job. Good call, bad cell phone. Thank you for the call. Okay, Paul in Pittsburgh, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I work at a local station here that is gearing up for the national test. And
right.
You know, you brought to attention to me, at least, that there's a lot more to it than just meets the eye.
Yeah, why would Barack Hussein Obama decide to conduct a national emergency test alert system for the first time in history? We've all had local ones. The overriding of stations. Local and state components of the EAS are tested on a weekly and monthly basis, but there's never been an end-to-end nationwide test of the entire system. Why would Obama need to control the entire media in America at once?
I really don't know the answer to that, but I will say that he's probably doing it because he can. I don't know.
The FCC and the so-called FEMA agency have been working on this project for 2 years. And the system was set up as a way to relay presidential messages in national emergencies. What national emergency do you think Obama is preparing us for would be a better question.
Maybe a nuclear strike or something.
God forbid. Anything is possible when you have a president that is this out of control and a press that is this disinterested in his tyranny. Anything is possible. 1-800-449-8255. All I can say is no castor beans for old men. No castor beans for old men. So what would you like to talk about? There's so much in the news, it's beyond belief. I know Herman Cain is a big story. I don't believe that these allegations against Cain are false. I believe he did probably say something to some of the women. Big deal. Big deal. Hey, honey, you're cute. That's a crime against humanity. They ought to give them a thank you for it, most of these hags. Which way do they want it? Both ways? Don't look at me. Do look at me. No, that's not the issue. That's not the issue at all. Nah. 1-800-449-8255. So President Obama says God wants to see us put people back to work. You got to listen to this one. I don't have the patience to even play it. When he brings up God, I look the other way. Senator Harry Reid says the rich can afford to contribute more money. It's interesting that Harry Reid is put in power by the poor. Who put Harry Reid in office? The rich. So what game are these people playing? Pelosi's put in office by the rich. She's one of the richest women in America, and they attack the rich. How does this work? I can't even play any of this. It's too painful to play it. So let's play clip one, Herman Cain.
Because I am an unconventional candidate running an unconventional campaign and achieving some unexpected, unconventional results in terms of the poll, we believe that, yes, there are some people who are Democrats, liberals, who do not want to see me win the nomination. And there could be some people on the right who don't want to see me because I'm not the quote unquote establishment candidate. No evidence.
Okay, but here's the thing, Herman. When you say people on the right, you're making a mistake. It's not people on the right. It's Republicans and Democrats. You are a threat to the power structure. Don't call Mitt Romney a person on the right. Mitt Romney is like McDonald's of the Republican candidates. Mitt Romney is the hamburger of the Republican candidates. He's a mixture of everything moderate that we don't need, because I'll remind you of something that Barry Goldwater said. Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. So in that regard, you can call me an extremist. I believe in borders, language, and culture. If you don't believe in our borders, if you don't like the English language, and if you'd like to speak a polyglot mixture of Indo-Mexican as you age, and if you don't believe in the cultural basis of America, then you're not a candidate to listen to this show. Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. Barry Goldwater. What we need now is an extremist candidate. Not a terrorist, but an extremist. Someone who actually believes in borders, language, and culture. Not a Mitt Romney. Nice man, good man, get along man, check pants Republican man, country club Republican man. But that's not what's going to save America. We need somebody like Cain. Why? Because he sounds slow. You know, someone said to me, oh God, he's awful. He speaks so slow. And I said, that's why people like him, because he's not glib. They're used to glib artists like Obama, who doesn't speak slowly, does he? Oh, he speaks quickly. The words roll off his lips. He rolls them out. And look what we got. So now along comes Herman Cain, who speaks slowly, yes, but his words make sense. I'd rather listen to the man and then judge what he says rather than how glibly he says them. There's a difference between sophism and reality. Obama is a sophist. Look up the word. S-O-P-H-I-S-T. Sophism. It's a certain style of speaking that was taught to all of the aristocratic sons of ancient Greece. Speaking of the drachma. And the fact of the matter is, it was taught to these young men to learn how to sway crowds by saying nothing but saying it beautifully. And Herman Cain doesn't say it eloquently, but he says it. Actually, I like the way he speaks, because he forces me to stop and listen to him. I don't care that he speaks more slowly than I do. I'm very gifted. I can speak simply, plainly, truthfully, and quickly. That's a real gift. Very few people have the gift that I have. Swiftly, clearly, honestly, plainly. Very, very hard to find in the world, which is part of the reason the show is so popular, and part of the reason my books are so popular. The plain truth has a way of reaching the people. And I believe Cain presents the plain truth. Because if you listen to the next soundbite we have, this is what they should really be asking Mr. Cain about in clip two. Listen.
Well, yes, they're a military threat. They've indicated that they're trying to develop nuclear capability, and they want to develop more aircraft carriers like we have. So, yes, we have to consider them a military threat.
He's talking about China. Now you understand where this is coming from. It's coming from the Quisling sold out to our enemies in both parties. Let's not forget how many former members of government, both Democrat and Republican, are now Quislings the equivalent of panderers to China, working for China. Bob Dole, lobbyist for China. Madeleine Halfbright, lobbyist for China. Sandy Sachs-Berger, lobbyist for China. There's a long line of prostitutes who are working for China, in my estimation. You think there's no money coming from China to destroy Herman Cain, who just might put in a 20% tariff on their goods? You know Mitt Romney won't put in a tariff because he believes in free trade. Free trade is the biggest lie in history. There's no such thing as free trade. You go try to export something to China or another third world country. You try and see what really goes on. There are tariffs all across the globe. But we don't have tariffs on goods coming in because they hired the best prostitutes money can buy, former members of government, who have made sure that no tariffs are put on their goods. So you could say that it's the Mitt Romney campaign who leaked this, just as well as you could say it's the Democrat campaign. You could say that it's the China lobby that leaked it. You'll never find out who leaked it. Herman Cain is in the big leagues. And when you enter the big leagues, you better get ready for the big attacks, and that's what he has. Frankly, I hope he stops going on these shows. I don't know why he's not listening to people like me who made him who he is. We're the people who will hear from him in the beginning. And yet, when he gets in trouble, where does he go? The slimy limey on CNN. Wolf Blitzer, one of the worst people in the history of the media. He goes on to one left-wing fanatic after another, and he expects them to treat him nicely. I won't go on their shows. Who is telling him to go on his shows? His advisors. Therefore, his advisors are the reason he's faltering. And that's why I said to you, I actually believe that there's good evidence that his own advisors have set Herman Cain up for a fall. I wouldn't doubt that if we could ever get to the bottom of it, we would find out that some of these scandals were released by his own advisors. I'll be right back.
I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice.
Well, here's an article that may explain where the smear campaign against Cain is coming from. Perry Polster worked for Restaurant Association at time of Cain allegations. That's the Perry campaign of Texas. Perry Polster worked for Restaurant Association at time of Cain allegations. Polster Tony Fabrizio says he never heard of sexual harassment allegations. But Chris Wilson, a former pollster for the National Restaurant Association, told an Oklahoma radio station today that he witnessed incidents in which Herman Cain sexually harassed an employee at a restaurant. I'm not going to read the slur, the slander against Cain, because he won't say what the incidents were. What do you mean he sexually harassed? He said, "Hey, cutie, you're beautiful." They had a few drinks together, and she flirted with him, and he said, "You're really good looking." Is this what America has come down to? Is this what the boys died at Anzio for? Is this what the boys died at Anzio for, to live in a slimy little nation like this, where the smallest possible microcosms of human beings inhabit the media? And they would bring up an incident like this as to say this now typifies the man's character, while ignoring all of the damage that Obama is doing to this country? All of the corruption and graft that is ongoing is ignored while they take down this man because he is a Christian, because he is black, and because he is a conservative. And I don't know in what order. But they hate all three of those components. And this tells me all I need to know about Perry. Chris Wilson says, "I was a pollster at the National Restaurant Association when Herman Cain was head of it, and I was around a couple of times when this happened. And anyone who was involved with the Restaurant Association know that this was going to come up," Wilson told some unknown moron in Oklahoma. "This occurred at a restaurant in Crystal City, Virginia, and everybody was aware of it. Everybody knew this would come up." Wilson implies these were serious incidents of sexual harassment. Well, what were they? "Hey, cutie, you're good looking. Hey, cutie, you're tall. Hey, cutie, you're short." These women ought to be thankful that someone said something nice to them. But let's put that aside. Is that the biggest issue in the world? That's what the men died for at Anzio? That's what the men died for at Normandy, to produce this generation of low-life reporters? This low-life level of reporting is what they died for? in the great wars of 1 and 2 and all of the other wars? That's what they died? They defeated Hitler for this? This is what they sacrificed for at Okinawa and Iwo Jima so that these low-life scum in the media could do this to a decent man? I'm outraged because I'm over-personalizing this. I don't know Herman Cain. I like his policies. I like his delivery. I like his honesty. I'm over-personalizing it because I am a victim of the same low-life vermin. And if you say I'm over-glorifying it, can you name one other member of the American media who is not allowed to enter Britain because he was smeared? I was smeared. They took my words out of context. I've spent over $400,000, and I'm still unable to enter the land of the Magna Carta because of the very same smear campaign. They came for Michael, and nobody lifted a finger to save me. Not the big blowhard Rush, not the wall banger, not the leprechaun, nobody! I'm all alone. I'm all alone for 3 years with this. Yeah, my listeners have gone to my website and contributed money. I haven't asked you for any for a long while, but very soon you're going to get a request. But I don't want to bring it up right now. Yeah, I'm the only member of the American media banned in Britain based upon the very same kind of smear campaign as Cain is facing right now. And I'm agitated by it because it's making me relive this kind of disgusting mentality that passes for reportage in this country. And so if Herman Cain is destroyed by these vermin, including these scum that he worked with at the National Restaurant Association, I would encourage every restaurant in America to withdraw from the National Restaurant Association. Do not pay them any dues. Withdraw from this association. If this is the best they can produce as a Chris Wilson, what do you need them for? What do they lobby for? What have they gotten for you? What has the NRA gotten for a restaurant in this country other than higher fees? Tell me what they've gotten for you. I know members of the National Restaurant Association. What has the group done for you, restaurant owner? Nothing.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
So no matter what I've talked about today, including the first ever national test of the emergency alert system by the tyrant Obama, who will override every TV and radio station in the country at one time, never happened before, not interested in that. The $900 million missing in Corzine's company, which declared bankruptcy, not interested in that. The salacious Southern Poverty Law Center going after some old men who were growing castor beans, not interested in that. It's the Cain story, and now it's probably come out that it's come from some slime bag who worked with him at the National Restaurant Association, some low-life pollster. But here's Cain's former secretary who says this is not the Herman Cain I know. It's a woman. She said it's just not Herman, says Sibby Wolfson, who was Cain's executive assistant from 97 through his first campaign for office in 04. He's got a lovely wife, a lovely family. Did she ever see Cain act in a way that could be construed as sexual harassment? No, God, no, she said, nothing, absolutely nothing. In fact, I think Herman was careful acting the opposite way. Now, that does not mean that there wasn't money paid by the National Restaurant Association to some slimebag woman who claimed he looked at her the wrong way. Anyone working in America knows that women make these things up. Anybody working in America knows that half of these claims are made up by scummy lawyers who should be thrown into the brig. Now, you're learning reading this story from one of his female employees, what a good guy he is, that A, he is a cancer survivor. Cain has been treated for bowel cancer going back to 2007. You don't know about that. And you don't know that he's also an Associated Baptist minister. You don't know anything about that, and you're not interested either. All you care about is that the little men on Prozac who've been told by the ugly men in the back rooms of the media to attack him. That's all you know. And I didn't think it came from the left. I thought it came from one of his opponents. I thought it was just as likely it came from Mitt Romney as from McPerry. But this proves to me ever more more so than ever that Kane is the one for to run up against Obama. The other two can't beat Obama, which is why the Republicans are so desperate to make sure it's either Mitt Romney or McPerry that will be destroyed by Obama, because they want the Democrats to have another 4 years. That's the way the game is played. And along comes the wild card, the favorite of the Tea Parties, the favorite of people who like honesty. And what happens to him is the bricks are dropped on his head. And so we can talk about it because that's all you want to talk about. I frankly don't think this could destroy him. But given that he is a cancer survivor, this could kill him. And he may have to withdraw, because I don't know that any man can take this day in and day out from the rats. I mean, once the rats start to attack like this, it does take it has its effect on your guts. He's already had bowel cancer. And I don't know how much this man should take from the rats. The rats who went to J school. They're not asking Obama one question about the billions that are going to corrupt or outright phony solar companies. Not one question about Michelle's abuse of the taxpayers' money on her junkets abroad. Not one question of any of the other corrupt Democrat politicians. Instead, all of the little men, the rats, are attacking and biting at poor old Herman Cain's heels. And you know why. It's as simple as why. So let's take your calls on this issue, if you care to talk about it, or any of the others. The emergency test is a big deal as well. And you're going to hear about it next Wednesday. Maybe I'm a week ahead of myself and I shouldn't talk about it. Pittsburgh, PA, Nick, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
You know, Michael, I think in some ways this could really enhance Cain, because I think people are just sick and tired of stuff like this. I mean, the sleazy journalism. And, you know, even liberal friends that I talk to, you know, kind of fed up with it. They've had enough. You know, and it's like,
what? Liberal friends are not gloating over this attack on Herman Cain? I'm surprised. This is just their cup of tea.
Well, you know, I guess I'm not as liberal as some of us, but you know, it's like I'm offended by Tampax commercials and condom commercials, but I'm not going to sue Tampax and Trojan Rubber. I'm not going to do that.
In other words, they make you uncomfortable, right? They make you uncomfortable, but you don't sue. What does uncomfortable mean? That's a feminist construct, uncomfortable. What does it mean? I'm uncomfortable almost every day by something. Should I sue everybody I meet?
My pants are too tight. I'm uncomfortable. So
when a Prius goes by and cuts me off from the right lane with an Obama sticker, I'm very uncomfortable. Who shall I sue? Prius?
Exactly. You know, so we're in the Constitution to say you have a right not to be uncomfortable.
Well, again, that's a feminist construct that was invented by the feminist movement to give lawyers the right to destroy any male that they wish. The big words, uncomfortable, a big college campus. Give every woman a whistle in the comfortable zone. What do you mean uncomfortable? I've been uncomfortable my whole life. So what, Nick? It never hurt me. It made me a better man.
I think it makes us.
That's what the men died for at Gettysburg. That's what the men died for at Anzio. That's what the men died for in Normandy. So that a woman can say she's uncomfortable and win $10 million. That's what it's for. And produce this level of slime in the media. I'll take your calls on this or any other topic. I mean, do you want to talk about this more? I mean, it's a pretty big story. To me, the story is not about Cain. It's about the lowness of the media. That's what the story is really about. If ever you doubted the lowness of the media, you doubt no more. When you see these cowards running after him with microphones and cameras and not leaving the poor man alone and making this a bigger story than any story, then you understand why America hates the media more than they hate Congress. And now you understand it. How else can you explain a street rat like Al Sharpton being given a job by General Electric and by Phil Griffin? How can you explain it? Why would they give a man like that, a fraud from top to bottom, a talk show? What does he do for them? What does he do for them? Why would they put a man like that on television? A man who has disgraced himself throughout his entire life, a man with a fake degree, Reverend Sharpton. What do you mean reverend? I'm Dr. Savage. I have a real PhD from Berkeley. I don't say call me doctor, but every time they mention that lowlife, they have to say Reverend Sharpton. I can't believe the media. And this goes for the leprechaun on Fox News who went to dinner once with the Reverend. Remember, he was surprised at his good table manners? Wow. 1-800-449-8255. It's getting worse by the moment. I hope Kane withdraws from the media. See, if I were advising him, here's what I tell him to do. No more interviews. You don't go near them. You don't let them near you now. You only go on talk radio. You go on friendly shows, but his own advisors are killing him. They have undermined him. His internal staff have undermined him by telling him to go on shows like the Slimy Wolf Blitzer, the human gefilte fish, Wolf Blitzer. A human gefilte fish. If ever there was a man who looks and talks and walks like a gefilte fish with eyes, it's Wolf Blitzer. Why would anyone go on that man's show and subject themselves to a human gefilte fish? Why would they put themselves before a slimy limey? Why? Unless they wanted to be destroyed. I'd advise them, don't go near them. Don't go near them. Go on talk radio where your friends are. Continue to raise money and come back in a while. Okay? And let them find somebody else to attack. So that's my opinion. I have a new advertiser, Envoy Medical. And I've told you before why I'm proud to have them as an advertiser. Because what is this show about? It's about wisdom, isn't it? And experience. And if you want to share your wisdom experience with your kids or your grandkids, which is very important, you can't really do it as well if you have hearing loss, can you? This gift could be lost because you need to hear and you need to hear well in order to speak well. And that requires good two-way communication. There's a really amazing medical breakthrough for those with hearing loss, and it's called the Esteem Hearing Implant. This is a revolutionary solution. It's not a hearing aid. It's 100% invisible. So you can keep up your active lifestyle. The Esteem Hearing Implant delivers a natural improvement to your hearing with a natural clarity of sound. Learn about this new breakthrough and give your children a legacy that they will cherish for their entire lifetime. Call 1-800-953-5453 or envoymedical.com. That's 1-800-953-5453 or envoymedical.com. Do it now, will you please? Call 1-800-953-5453 or envoymedical.com for a list of side effects and benefits associated with this theme. Visit envoymedical.com.
Savage.
To me, this is another Kobe Bryant situation. Remember the Rocky Mountain white trash who falsely accused Kobe? I was the only one in the media who went to his aid within 3 days, and I was 100% right. Who went to the aid initially after analyzing the situation and called her the Durham dirtbag? I took a chance, didn't I? I was attacked for it. But the whole media jumped on the entire Durham Duke lacrosse team, remember, because they were white boys. And because she was a black stripper, she was sacrosanct, she was the victim. Turned out who was right? Michael. Michael was right. So I say go, Herman, go, no matter what the rats say to you, no matter what the rats do, no matter how many filthy vipers come out of the woodwork and claim that they were paid off, it doesn't mean you did anything to them. Because just because they got a payout for a sexual harassment claim means nothing. The workplace is rife with fraudulent claims by low-life women who make this stuff up because they find slimy lawyers who can get a settlement out of an association. You know, you pay someone 30 grand to go away. What is that? It's cheaper than pursuing a lawsuit. Everyone knows that. So they get low-life lawyers of the type that are now at Occupy Wall Street from the National Lawyers Guild, the same type of disreputable garbage with law degrees. What they do is they file against you, say, well, he looked at me the wrong, made me uncomfortable, and what the organization will usually do is make a payment in order to make you go away. See, that's the way it is. Everyone knows I'm right. I'm giving you the reality as opposed to the nonsense. Now, here is a former executive assistant to Herman Cain telling one of the superb individuals at CNN again that she never heard about sexual assault allegations. She never heard about it. Listen.
For a more personal perspective now, I'm joined by Sibby Wolfson, Herman Cain's former executive assistant from 1997 to 2004. Were you aware of these accusations?
No.
Not at all. He never mentioned them or nobody brought them to your attention?
Not that I recall.
When you see the headline and you see the news reports, and a man you worked very closely with for 7 years is accused of some sexually suggestive language, some other inappropriate conduct. One of the women alleges that he made an unwanted sexual advance at her. Anything in Mr. Kane's behavior in your presence that would suggest he's capable of that?
No. Absolutely not.
No, please play the rest of them, will you, please?
He jokes himself on the campaign trail. He says it's time to let Herman be Herman. He says he tries to have a sense of humor. Some of the things he thinks are funny, maybe voters won't find so funny, but that's part of his interesting personal characteristics. Any situations at all where maybe Herman being Herman or Mr. Kane being brash, being blunt, might have rubbed somebody the wrong way?
Absolutely not. He wasn't brash. He wasn't even blunt. I think some of the bluntness has come with doing the radio show. which I think he kind of had to cultivate in order to be a good radio talk show host. He was never controversial. He was never argumentative. He was never anything other than charming, pleasant, interesting, so on and so forth. He kind of makes it his own personal mission to bring positivity where there's negativity. He's charismatic. Mm. He's funny. He's fun to be around. You know, certainly when we're doing business, we're dealing with the business at hand, but in a way that is just a pleasure, even during the times.
All right, we got the picture. So here's a woman who worked with him who says he's a nice guy, good guy, straight guy. And so let's say tomorrow we read that the poor injured woman who received the 30 grand comes forward and says, yes, he did this. What did he do to you? Tell me what, he made you uncomfortable? How? What, he said you're cute? So you went to your boss and you said, oh, good, I don't want to work anymore. I'll get some slimy lawyer who will send one letter to the National Restaurant Association. And then they settle for 30 grand. That's a very low settlement because there was never really any kind of sexual harassment. And it's easier to settle for 30 grand than it is to fight them in court. That's the way it works. You think I'm telling you what's not real? I live in the real world. I understand how these things work. I understand we have lawyers who should be in prison who file most of these cases. I understand the EEOC should have been closed down a long time ago because it's nothing but a group of jackals who destroy businesses instead of creating businesses. In fact, it's one of the plans I call for in Trickle Up Poverty, which is shut down the EEOC. It's a business killer. A business killer. Does it mean he really hurt somebody? What did he actually do? So, yeah, someone will come forward and say, boo-hoo! Boo-hoo! Every time Herman Cain appeared, I was made uncomfortable. Well, so what? Maybe you make people uncomfortable with your attitude. Do you ever think about that? But not everybody thinks of going to a shady lawyer to sue people for making them uncomfortable. It's just that the laws are twisted. The laws were written so that corporations could be raped by false allegations and so that slimy lawyers can make a living. Now, that doesn't mean that I support real sexual harassment, which does exist. Oh, it exists everywhere you can turn. But no one's actually accused Herman Cain of any such thing. All you hear about is that he made someone uncomfortable. What, they all had some drinks at the National Restaurant Association, and he said something like, you're cute. God, you're nice looking. That made her uncomfortable. Why? Why was she made so uncomfortable? Because she knows she's not cute or good looking? I think that if Cain listens to me, and he won't, and he withdraws from going before these vermin in the media, and he just disappears for a while and goes on to talk radio shows, goes where he originally went to become known, and the money will start flowing in like crazy now, incidentally. He can raise $10 million overnight because of these false claims against him. He's just got to stop going before the slimy limey and before the human gefilte fish. The walking gefilte fish of CNN should never be heard from again with Cain. But he's not going to listen to this. He should know better by now, but he doesn't. Now, I know that Fox is pushing the Cain story hard because we know that what Fox News is. Just remember why Fox is pushing the Cain story hard. Just remember who owns Fox. It's Rupert Murdoch, who's in deep trouble now with the Obama administration. That's number one. Obama does not want to face Cain. He wants to face either Mitt Romney or McPerry, because the middle-of-the-road white men are very easy to push over in a debate. But a black versus a conservative black, Cain wins by 30 points. If you put Cain head-to-head against the Obama. If you put him against Obama, Obama, okay, 30 points, 30-point win. So that's why Fox is pushing the Cain story hard. It's because they want either Mitt Romney or McPerry to win. Because Murdoch has been told, he's been put on the ropes by Obama, that they'll go easier on him if he pushes Cain. Now look, it's clear as a bell. It's all clear as a bell. It's how politics works. This is not, you don't need a Nobel Prize or a degree in logic to understand this. I'm giving you the honest truth here. This is how things work. Fox is sold out. As good as they are, they're sold out and they're owned in so many different ways. Prince Alawite, I think, owns 19% of Fox, which is why you never hear anything about Islamic terrorism to speak of anymore on Fox. It's why Michael Savage is banned from Fox News. There are many, 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 many tentacles here. You got to understand this.
Savage.
See, here's an article that you should pay attention to. This is from the Miami Herald. Citizenship applications soar in South Florida. And why are citizenship applications soaring in South Florida? Why? New citizens are part of an increase in citizen applications in South Florida and the rest of the country due to the growing interest among immigrants in the 2012 presidential election, immigration officials say. Now, immigration officials work for Obama. They're the ones who refuse to close the borders. They're the ones who arrest Border Patrol agents. They're the ones who put a Border Patrol agent in prison for holding the hands behind his back of a drug smuggler. Instead of putting the drug smuggler away, they just arrested the Border Patrol agent. They're the ones who want as many of them to become citizens as possible in order to have another secret army of illegal voters. The increase in naturalizations was disclosed in August, issued by the Department of so-called Homeland Security. According to the yearbook, the number of foreigners seeking citizenship in the 2010 fiscal year grew after a dramatic plunge in applications, primarily due to the 07 and 08 economic crisis. So there we go again. There we go now. Huge increase in the number of naturalizations in order to make sure Obama is reelected. And they're just dying to vote in America. Dying to vote in America. They would vote for Adolf Hitler if he appeared on the Democrat ticket. All he had to do was say he's a Democrat for social welfare and his name was A. Hitler, they'd vote for him. That's unbelievable to me, what's going on in this country. That they're bringing in crowds of illegal aliens as citizens so they can vote for him. But you won't hear the brave men with the microphones running after the INS chief over that. Or you won't hear them running after Eric Holder about the guns to Mexico, which resulted in the death of a Border Patrol agent. Instead, they attack poor Herman Cain. 1-800-449-825. I think I made my point. Lance in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR.
Yeah, hi, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, it's good to hear your voice. Hey, listen, I don't know what to say, but I know, all I know is about Cain. I saw him on Piers Morgan. I don't know if you like that show.
Yeah, I call him the Slimy Limey. Right? And Cain is making a mistake by going on the Slimy Limey show.
Right, because I was listening to Cain sitting there like, you know, just like a gentleman, and the guy just cuts him off. The guy don't even give him a chance.
The Slimy Limey with the twisted mouth tried to get me on his show for my book Abuse of Power. I refused because I know what the Slimy Limey is all about and what he's made up of. He has no ratings, and why? You got to ask yourself, why would Cain subject himself to a Slimy Limey like that?
You got ways with words.
Yeah, did I give you a little laugh for a moment, a laugh bubble?
I needed that because see, I saw you one time on TV. You really set my ego to the max. I like you. I mean, wish we had more people like you. I don't know how you.
You know, I'm not on TV. I will never be on TV. It's not my forte. I have a face for radio, as they say. And that's why I'm on radio. I'm happy to be here. I write books and I talk on the radio. You know what? You have such... Your voice reminds me of a friend of mine who died 2 years ago, Michael. And so, therefore, I don't know you. I'm sending you a gift, a beautiful gift for... just for no reason, a copy of my book, Abuse of Power, Lance. Stay on the phone. Sounded just like a friend of mine who died a couple of years ago. I hadn't seen him in years either. That's such a quintessential New York voice. That's a very unusual New York voice, as opposed to the fake ones that they the voice coaches have the idiots from the Midwest use in movies. I love that. You know I'm from New Jersey. No one talks like that except idiots who went to, like, film school think that New Yorkers talk that way. They it's like an forget about it, okay? That's actually a New York accent you just heard. Regional accent. So what is Kane's accent? There's a Perry link to the allegations against Kane. It's coming from the Perry camp, which to me finishes Perry. That's the end of Perry. That's all. A vermin who worked at the National Restaurant Association as a pollster is the person who leaked this. And so there it is. Big deal. Witnessed harassment. Well, what do you mean by harassment? What does that mean? Any man who's actually normal to a feminist is a harasser. If you have any testosterone, you're committing harassment. You're making a feminist uncomfortable. If you have testosterone, if you act like a man, if you talk like a man, if you walk like a man, you make a feminist and the verminous lawyers who live off these kind of things uncomfortable. So what? So what? What should you do? Have yourself gelded? I didn't say gilded. You want to be gelded? You want every man gelded in America? Well, that's the goal. That's the goal. Geld a man. I think that Herman Cain should be given an award for being a man and a Christian, by the way. They should give him an award for having the guts to sacrifice himself for this country and put himself before the altar of rats. I think I've made enough for this. Fox News has disgraced themselves again by making this such a big story. That's all. Let's see what happens. 1-800, Michael Savage says Kane is the great black hope. You don't see anybody quoting that, do you? Have you seen anyone use that? Greatest line of the entire thing. You got idiots saying things, he's an uppity conservative black man leaving plantation. Stuff that you've heard before 1,000 times means nothing. But Savage says Kane is the great black hope. No one quotes it. Why? Because it's shockingly true. And that's the end of it. I'm sure over the next few days you're going to have the hags come forward. Crying with tissues on every TV. Oh, what he did to me. I've lived with such shame. He humiliated me by looking at me. He made me so uncomfortable. Crocodile tears and their lawyers will come out. You know the type. Just a joke. It's a charade. It's a circus, the whole thing. But Kane won't listen to me. Don't go on the slimy limey. Don't go on the human gefilte fish. Stay away from the seltzer bottles with ears. Don't go near them. Stay away from them. Florida, Karen, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I think Fox News has done just more than perpetuate the story. I think they've turned Mr. Kane into like a defendant because they seem to have him on these panels where there's these analysts sitting around him and, you know, they're weighing in, and that was a big mistake for him to, you know, go on.
Right. Well, the Republicans are committing suicide just by having this many debates and using left-wing smear artists as moderators. I mean, I've said that before. That's because they want to lose. There's no question they want to lose.
Well, I'd have to support that. No.
And that's why Kane is such a threat to the Republican-Democrat establishment. The two-party Monty system does not want an independent because the man's liable to win. Then they wouldn't know what to do. There's no way to pillage the public anymore. Can you imagine if an honest Christian won the presidency? They wouldn't be able to pillage the taxpayer anymore.
Well, I just think, you know, they've had him on 4 shows, the usual character. Instead of just brief news segments, they're putting these big news stories around him, and they're perpetuating. They're leading the whole media, and I think it's really sickening. That's right.
Well, that's thank you. That's of course. But the faux news network is known for this. They do a good job to a certain extent. And then they have their limitations like we all do. I have my limitations. Everyone has limitations. Phone news is no different. They're not Pravda. They're not the truth. They have their limitations, and they have their biases, and they have their alliances, and they have their desires to support themselves in any way they can. If that means doing business with Obama and smearing Kane, they'll do it. If that's what Murdoch has to do. I mean, Murdoch, how did Murdoch get where he is? By being a very clever man, hiring very intelligent people to run his networks, and by running salacious pictures of women, along with other scandalous stories. So what's better for them than another scandal? Faux News made its fortune on scandals. So what do you expect them to do? Mary in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I work in a hospital in New York, and I was in the elevator with a doctor, And he said, you have pretty hair. And immediately he started having a panic attack. And I said, what's the matter? He goes, oh, no, I didn't mean anything by that. I said, wait a minute. I had three brothers, a son, a husband, a father, a grandfather. Please do not act like that with me. Not all women are like that, but I do see it. I see it around me.
What do you mean? I'm missing it. You mean because he got frightened that you'd sue him for saying you have pretty hair?
Tell me I had beautiful hair.
And he was afraid you were going to run to the Human Resources Department where the KGB agents work?
I work in nursing. He's a doctor.
Oh, so he was already set up for a fall. You could have destroyed his career by saying, what, he made you uncomfortable?
He didn't. Not at all.
No, I get it. You're saying you don't act that way, but there are women who would, and he was afraid you were one of the women who would.
I know, and some women do. Not all women. Most of my friends, women, we don't think like that.
I know that. But what you're saying is that there are some who do.
No, they are, and they're all ethnic. Never mind. Don't let me get started.
Well, we'll soon find out who brought these charges. We'll soon find out what they're going to subject themselves to if they come forward. It's not going to be a very pretty picture for them, I can guarantee you. Since you're such a nice lady and it's so late in the second hour of the Savage Nation, what am I sending you? If you name it, you gain it. What is it?
Abuse of power?
Bingo! A winner! And by the way, folks, can I send out an appeal? I need you. I need you to go out. If you're planning on buying the book, would you please buy Abuse of Power before the week is out, before it is moved to obscurity underneath a book you would never read? Okay, I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, so the topic of the day is still the Herman Cain smear against Herman Cain by the Republican establishment, and the proof is emerging that it's the Republicans doing it. Here's another piece of the evidence for you to decide for yourself who's trying to destroy Cain. Here's the despicable Karl Rove, a former top advisor to President George Bush, saying that the Restaurant Association must let the Cain accuser speak. Now, why would Karl Rove say that? These women who made this stuff up were given small settlements, which indicate that they were just nuisance suits, on the condition that they'd be confidential. Now what, they want to throw away the confidentiality claim because it's convenient for those who want to destroy Cain? So why would Karl Rove, who I've never liked or trusted, get up on Fox News to say the only way to get past this is for Cain to get the NRA to release its report on harassment charges leveled against him? You know, Karl Rove has always made me very uncomfortable. He's always struck me as a very slimy individual. And now you see he's working hand in glove with Politico, the Soviet Politico, and Rove is working hand in glove with the Perry campaign, and most importantly, with the Republican establishment to make sure that this maverick outsider called Cain does not win. They're shocked by it. They don't know what to do to him other than to destroy him through innuendo. And as I said to you, there's no question that the Restaurant Association at this point, to me, made some payments to these Harridans. And the low level of the payment I read, $30,000, indicates it was a nuisance suit to begin with. Because, as I say, any woman can make this stuff up. And they can get a slimy lawyer who's unemployed to bring the charge. One letter will do it. And then the companies will usually pay the $30,000 rather than pursue a lawsuit because lawsuits are ugly and expensive. Doesn't mean that he actually did anything that the ordinary person would find offensive, does it? You're good looking, you have nice hair, you got nice lipstick. That's considered a crime against humanity today? Not in my book. Ty in Sacramento, what about your book? Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I just want to tell you, you basically say F to say. I just have to commend you for being the voice of people that think these thoughts every day.
Well, I'm actually afraid to say them, too, but my job is to overcome my fear and say them.
And thank you. Thank you for your job. I'm glad you didn't wimp out like a lot of the talk show radio hosts. I can name a few, but I won't.
We don't have to knock them. The thing is that... I'm of a certain age, and I think the country is in such trouble right now, we're in such a danger of losing it forever, that unless we all speak out, wherever we are, supermarket line, PTA meeting, we're finished. If we let the lousy elements of society, the dregs, take over the airwaves and take over the streets as they're doing, we're finished. We're having a communist revolution fostered by David Axelrod and the Obama campaign. And America should understand what's going on. Now you see one man who can stand up to all of them being attacked by the Republicans. And you know that this proves I'm right about the two-card Monty, the two-party Monty system. It proves it's a two-party Monty system underneath which there is no nut. No matter how you move the shells around, DRR, there's no nut under each. It's like a game of two-card Monty, but there's no P under each and either of the nuts. Now along comes a man who's honest, and they're trying to destroy him. Why are they not going after Obama on the scandals? Why are the brave men with the journalism degrees not running after Eric Holder with microphones outside his house, asking him what he knew and when he knew it about the guns to Mexico, which resulted in the death of a Border Patrol agent, Mr. Terry? Why are they not running after Obama and asking him about what he knew and when he knew about the money to Solyndra? Why are they not running after Obama and asking him about the billions of dollars in loans, guaranteed loans to cronies? Why are they not running after Jeffrey Immelt of General Electric and asking him how he can stand up with a straight face and say that General Electric should not pay any income tax on $5.3 billion? Ask yourself why. Because they're wholly owned components of the government media complex. This is how bad it's gotten. When you have a government that's so closely embedded with the media, as is NBC, MSNBC, CNBC, whatever the NBC is, they're owned by General Electric. General Electric pays no taxes on their income in America. And you don't hear anyone in the media asking Jeffrey Immelt, how could you do this? Why don't you pay your fair share of taxes? Why are you on the Jobs Council when you're exporting jobs, Mr. Immelt? Why are they not running after him outside his house? Why are they not hounding George Soros every time he appears anywhere in public? Why are they not sticking microphones in George Soros' face, asking him about the insider trading charges that were brought against him and upheld in Europe? Why are they not sticking them in his face and asking him, how does he feel about owning so many journalists in America? Why are they attacking Herman Cain? The answers are in the question. The answers are in the question. I don't have to answer them, and neither do you. Cain is an outsider. Cain is a maverick. Cain is the real McCoy. Cain will end most of the graft. Cain is liable to balance the budget. There will be no pillaging of the American taxpayer. Businesses will thrive. The borders will be secured. America will be proud again. It'll be a proud nation again. I can guarantee you that if Cain walked amongst hardened combat veterans once he was president, they would cheer this man. They'd throw their hats in the air. You think they feel like throwing their hats in the air when Obama walks amongst them? They probably feel like throwing up their lunch when he walks amongst them, but they dare not do it for fear that they'd be thrown out of the military. But Cain, I guarantee you, they'd get the hats in the air for him. They love him. They would love this man. He is a threat to the New World Order. He's a threat to the established system. WOR Gene, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
You're absolutely right, Michael. He's a threat to the good old boy network. He's a threat to the lobbyists. He can't be bought. And the only way to get rid of him is character assassination.
That's correct. That's correct. Now, having said that, no doubt there were payments made to these Harridans, but they were minor payments, according to what we've read, which indicates they were nuisance suits and they were invented strictly for the money. No one ever accused them of rape or anything like that, did they? He never did anything, never touched anybody. What, he said, you're a good-looking woman, you're cute, you got nice hair? Big deal. Big deal. Big deal. That's a crime against humanity. How does that compare to guns to Mexico, which wound up killing a Border Patrol agent and God knows how many innocent Mexicans? Why isn't anyone following up that story?
Janet Napolitano never communicating with Eric Holder.
How about them running after Janet Napolitano, asking her why she lets illegal aliens come over the border in droves? Why don't they run after her with their microphones and their cameras?
You're absolutely right, as always.
Well, I don't know about absolutely right. I'm right about this. I know that. The question is, can Cain survive this? The man is a cancer survivor, and this takes a great toll on a man. False accusations can eat a man alive. I've been living with him for 3 years, and they've hurt me very, very deeply. But the fact is you got to go on. I don't know. See, the difference is that I'm not public. He is. I'm invisible. I'm only a talk show host. I'm known to you and my audience of millions. and my ratings have jumped 27% on the web, which indicates that's by the way, I have to talk about that for 30 seconds. The real ratings of the Savage Nation are probably seen more closely approximated by the web streaming ratings, where I'm number two in the country. Russia's number one. I went up 27%, and he flatlined. I would believe they're more closely approximate the actual audience of radio than the kind of skewed data that they're getting from the system they're using. That's my estimation. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here are some of the questions from the savage brain today. The government has arrested old militia members who they claim are terrorists because they grew, I think they grew some plants. And they claim, based on the disrespected Southern Poverty Law Center, a very suspicious left-wing hit group, says that these old men started shucking castor beans. And for that reason, they're terrorists. That's interesting. Then he says these men are part of a militia group. Then he says that these militia groups are anti-government. And then they say that these militia groups don't like Barack Obama. And then this Mark Potok, who has been like a grim reaper across the landscape at anybody who opposes the Obama machine. And he says that some of these militia groups have very deep ties to neo-Confederate activities. I didn't know that neo-Confederate activities are illegal, Beowulf, did you?
I had no idea. I guess
I didn't know that they're the new terrorists. Did you know that? Anyone who believes in respecting the ancient traditions without going into actually doing them is now a terrorist, but Muslims are immune?
History
That's interesting.
It's a crime.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think this is merely an attempt to distract you from the fast and furious gun-running scandal to Mexico, the billions of dollars being given away to Obama's cronies, etc. Condoleezza Rice-Aroni, who is peddling a book, is on the media circuit today saying she thinks that Herman Cain is playing the race card by claiming that the media was trying to lynch him electronically. I don't agree with her at all. In fact, I think she's the real problem here. And who do you think is really playing the race card? Herman Cain, Condoleezza Rice, or the media? You know, I think Cain is being misadvised by his handlers because he's gone on mostly unfriendly shows in order to refute the sexual harassment allegations against him. He's making a big mistake. And that leads me to believe that Herman Cain is not a good enough liar to operate on the world stage, because in order to function at that level, you have to be a very skilled liar. And I think that that's Herman Cain's problem. He's not a skilled liar. Finally, what do you think poses more of a danger to America? Herman Cain's alleged statements to some bimbos 12 years ago, or Barack Hussein Obama's cronyism? Yeah. And that leads us to the next question. Have Herman Cain's own advisors set him up for a fall? Now, the reason I ask that is that we've seen the Herman Cain story play out over the course of last week. The far-left Soviet-American website Politico came out with a hit piece which accused Cain of sexual harassment back in the 90s. Neither of the accusers has come forward, and there is no actual evidence against him. And so Herman Cain has mistakenly been advised to go to the media to refute the story. But where has he gone? One left-wing television show after another. one meek conservative radio show after another. Those who have an interest in tearing him down, either because they despise the fact that he is a black man and a conservative, or because he poses a threat to the power structure, instead of going on shows like The Savage Nation that built him up when he was an unknown, he has gone straight into the enemy's camp. Now, why is he doing this? Why is he going straight into the lion's den and allowing himself to trip over his own words? My answer is Cain is being set up by his own advisors. Why else would he be giving interviews to enemies instead of friends? Why else would his campaign come up with bizarre ads like that featuring his campaign manager, Mark Block, in which he blows cigarette smoke directly into the camera? Perhaps he's blowing smoke in Herman Cain's face as well. Who is this character, Mark Block? In any case, Herman Cain is going to have to learn to listen to the right people and get his story straight. If he wants to replace Barack Obama and compete on the world stage, he's going to have to try to be a better liar. At least that's one man's opinion. What else is in the news? Well, you know, there's only one place to go. There's many places to go, but I cull the best of the best. I mean, there are places that cull stories, but I cull the best of the best on one site, michaelsavage.com. Of course, the lead story is about me. Superstar Savage skyrockets on internet ratings, internet radio ratings, rising 27% in October, while Rush is flatlined. On the top left, abuse of power. Abuse of Power, my great novel. If you haven't bought it yet, now is the time to do it. Read an excerpt, you won't be able to put it down. French paper firebombed after publishing a Mohammed issue, a satirical paper. Shows you that the religion of peace is operating in peace in France. Born in the USA, but now among Somalia's Islamic terrorists. An American-born college dropout lunatic. The FBI is allegedly going to probe John Corzine's MF Global's missing $700 million. Good luck. Good luck. Rarely seen, Gloria Cain is going to speak publicly. I can't wait. She's a beautiful-looking lady. She smiles and she looks like she's glad to be an American. Israel test fires a missile that could hit Iran. God willing. House GOP to subpoena immigration data. Big deal. Colorado voters reject statewide tax increases. No kidding. Cain is the great black hope, says Michael Savage. Who stole it so far? Obama advisors' green firm got $2 billion in a loan guarantee. And he's a member of the president's jobs council. How's that for transparency and honesty? Lord of the Flies in Zucchini Park. Free love at Occupy Wall Street. They're flocking to health clinics for HIV testing. Well, my mother said sex was dirty. Illegal alien. They all come here to work. Well, this one pled guilty in the running over a nun. He'd been arrested twice before for drunken driving. A good Samaritan killed trying to stop a robbery. Oh, boy. What's that story? Illegal alien arrested in girl's murder. Cafe forced to cut staff because of Occupy protest in New York. Illegal alien to face judge in Walmart death case. Oh, yeah. California high-speed rail plan projected at $98 billion. Hey, it's cheaper to fly, isn't it? What is this Good Samaritan kill trying to stop a robbery? Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I have the guts to read it. I think I'll download it right now on michaelsavage.com if I can. KTLA put it up. I think we'll skip that one. It's too painful. I think we shall. Should we talk about that one, Beowulf? Good Samaritan killed trying to stop robbery in Canyon Country, L.A. Los Angeles County Sheriff's Deputies have arrested four teenagers after a fight over a handheld video game ended in a shooting that wounded a teen and killed a Good Samaritan. Sheriff's official said a teen arranged to meet four of the teen boys at the shopping center to sell a Nintendo, but the boys he arranged to meet planned to rob him. When they tried, a fight broke out, and one of the four attempted robbers pulled out a gun. And an unidentified man, who officials said was a Good Samaritan, tried to break up the fight, approached the attempted robbers with a baseball bat and was shot in the torso. The teen trying to sell a game system tried to run away and was shot in the right thigh. The four suspects all males between the ages of 13 and 16 have been arrested. Paramedics rushed the robbery victim and the Good Samaritan to a nearby hospital. The Good Samaritan died, and the robbery victim was treated for non-life-threatening injury. Police said he was a 29-year-old Hispanic male, and they will not identify who the shooters were because no doubt they're not white males. That's how it works. If they were white males growing castor beans, I'm sure you'd see their pictures. Well, yeah, or if they were returning military. If they had just come back from fighting for America, they'd be pictured.
Well, that's a serious terrorist threat to America.
Well, it is. Any returning military veteran, anyone who's not in favor of abortion, according to Janet Reno, I mean, who's it now? Janet. They're all interchangeable. We've gone from Janet Reno to Janet Napolitano. Who'll be the next one?
Janet the Second.
Janet, Queen Janet the Second. Very good. So aside from the fact that Israel is test-firing a Jericho missile, and the White House is condemning Israel over settlements, and Washington is trying to stop Israel from not committing suicide, Israel might just decide to live. They just might decide to live. 1-800-449-8255. GOP pollster corroborates accusations against Cain, so it's them doing it. It's the GOP shafting Cain. They're more afraid of him than the Democrats. Iowa radio host comes out against him, too. A radio host came out against Cain? He gave her a good mic? What did he do to her, Bagels? Oh, it's another one from the Soviet Politico. Oh, come on. Iowa radio host accuses Herman Cain of inappropriate remarks? He should be given an award in this society for liking women. That is unbelievable.
A rare commodity.
I can't believe this. Oh, my God. A staffer at a radio station? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Cain said awkward and inappropriate things to the staff at a station. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? I can't believe that what they're doing to this man. You should contribute to Cain. What a bunch of losers. This is all from the Soviet block coming out of Politico, the Soviet website on the lowest of the low now. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
There's something different going on right now. When you have the leader, the Republican leader of the Senate, say our number one goal in the midst of this economy, our number one goal is to defeat the president. And they're acting like it. They don't want to cooperate. They don't want to help, even on measures to help the economy that they traditionally have supported before, like a payroll tax cut, like infrastructure, rebuilding our roads and bridges.
Did you hear that? And it's organizations like the AARP who control these leftist politicians. AMAC is fighting back. The Association of Mature American Citizens. Your membership can help stop the left wing. Call 800-255-4199, 800-255-4199, or go to AmericaIsRising.com, 800-255-4199, AmericaIsRising.com.
My love must be a kind of blind love. I can't see anyone but you.
Loved this song when I was a kid. Loved it. They could never sell it today. They couldn't. It's too slow. You know? It's like on glue. Sitting on the Belt Parkway, you know what I mean? That's where we used to go. I mean, people, do you think I didn't grow up real? I mean, I grew up in a real city. I went out with girls. So I'm not supposed to know things. The scene about falling on the radio, truthfully, have you read anything as good as that in the history of sexual scenes in books? Never. Never. I mean, you've read the other stuff. You'd expect it. Notice there was not one F word. Have you ever heard about a man putting a T-shirt over a woman because she was screaming too loudly and he was afraid that people would hear her? No. And he wasn't the killer. I mean, think about it. There's a lot of nuance in this book. But it's the same in the whole like the, all the politics, the political stuff in it. Let me read you a violence scene, okay, since many of you say, well, I'd rather hear about sex than violence. How would you rather hear a violence scene, those of you who are offended by sex? You like that? Jack awoke to the sound of screaming, a woman's scream of pain, the kind of pain that comes from teeth being extracted without Novocaine or fingers being cut off with wire clippers. Her high-pitched wails echoed mournfully down a long hallway. Then they stopped abruptly, followed by the sound of her sobs as she gasped for air. Jack had a bag over his head, burlap from the smell of it, and he had no idea where he was. He was sitting in a chair with a sagging wicker seat, his wrist tied to the slats that comprised the seat back. The chair was not bolted to the floor, but even if he could hop it around, where would he go? His mouth tasted of blood, and his tongue was sore, which meant he'd managed to bite it during the struggle in the alleyway. Worse yet, his head was throbbing, and the room seemed to be spinning slowly. Around and around like a Ferris wheel, he thought he might throw up, but at least he was alive for now. Listening to the woman's sob, and he knew she wasn't acting this time, a turn of events that surprised him. And then I go on to what had happened to him. And here it is. As he considered what he would do next, a metal door clanged down the hallway, opening, hitting a wall, then closing. Whoever had thrown it open wasn't happy. Voices drifted toward him as two pairs of footsteps reverberated against the walls moving in his direction. He wrestled with his bonds again, trying to loosen them, the rope cutting into his flesh, rubbing his wrists raw. There was nothing in the Krav Maga training manual to deal with this, except for the rubber-encased, bite-activated potassium cyanide pill that Mossad operatives carried between cheek and jaw like chewing tobacco, which he didn't have. Then a door in front of him clanged open and a voice said, "Your girlfriend is a stubborn little tart, Mr. Hatfield. I've seen men twice her size break under half the stress." Jack would know that smarmy voice anywhere. It was blank, blank. I won't read you any more. Again, I want to show you, you know, from the alpha to the omega, from the subtle to the not so subtle, from the violent to the sexual, it's all in there. And I want you to read the novel. I want you to understand this is my story in some way. I had to try to tell you my story. It's as though I'm a man who threw out a message in a bottle to the world. And that message is about how I have been wronged by the illegitimate governments of the United States and Britain. And the reason I say the United States is because they won't do jack to help me as an American citizen clear my name and clear my honor. I worked my whole life in an honorable manner on behalf of this nation. And I am the only member of the American media to be banned from entering Britain on trumped up charges created by people within this country who I think were funded by George Soros's Media Matters. I believe there are other names I could name right now, which I'm not going to bother with. And they used the English to do their dirty work, hoping it would bring about the death of conservative talk radio in America. I was the canary in the mineshaft, and I had little or no help from anybody else in the media, conservative or otherwise. And this has gone on since 09. It's cost me a lot of money, a lot of agony, and I had to write a novel to try to reach out to the world. And when you read this book, you'll see what it's all about.
Savage.
Now, a lot of people on the right are trying to put this around the blogosphere that the president doesn't mention God. And clearly they're trying to play now toward this real right-wing religious right kind of thing, which I think is unfortunate. Many Christians have firm belief, but it's based on your work. You can't use God in Christianity and then turn around and vote against trying to feed the hungry, care for the outcast, clothe the naked. Your action, faith without works, is a dead thing. They need to read the Bible that they quote.
Come on, that's ridiculous. But identity theft is something you have to take seriously. What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock now at 1-800-LOCK-485 and get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. 1-800-LOCK-485. Call them now. President O is getting ready to head on over to the G20 summit to bow down to more world leaders and pitch his jobs plan, meaning another $1 trillion in tax dollars for his cronies. So what will come out of this G20 summit, huh? Well, joining us on the Savage Nation right now to talk about this and much more is AEI resident scholar. That's the American Enterprise Institute, Philip Levy. Philip Levy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to be here with you.
Well, what do you really think is going to come from this summit?
I think they're going to try to do damage repair. I think the French had some grand ambitions about how they were going to use this to promote a whole broad agenda of things they wanted to work on. Last week, they tried to put the European crisis behind them, and it just didn't work at all. It seems to have unraveled, and that has put everybody in crisis mode. With the talk of a Greek referendum, the concerns about who's going to fund things, how the plan that they discussed coming out of the European summit is even going to work. So I think that now poses an enormous threat to the global economy, and it's got to be the major focus that they're going to have in this summit.
Is there any chance at all that the proposal to solve the European debt crisis is really going to work?
Well, I think the difficulty is that the proposal they came up with was really not a proposal, but it was a broad sketch. It was kind of an outline of a proposal, details to be filled in later. And even from that broad sketch, there were all kinds of problems, and the devil, as usual, is in the details as well. But I think the short answer, the concise answer to your question is no. I think there's very little chance that this works. It's filled with problems. The Europeans weren't going to put up any more of their own money. They wanted somebody else to do it. Nobody was exactly volunteering to play the sucker on that one and put forward money. The Chinese appreciated the inquiry but said no thank you, essentially, that they would just do token amounts. And the plan for dealing with Greece was the first thing to unravel. That unraveled very quickly. Greece is small, could be manageable, but the problem is it leads to other things. And what you saw was coming out of that summit, almost immediately you had a negative verdict where people look for these things, which is in people lending to Italy, which I believe is something like six times the size of Greece. And Italy is really the big country that's hard to work around. So all those indications are, no, the plan didn't work.
All right. So what do you think the big story will be that comes out of this summit, that they saved Greece?
I think that if they can, they're going to have to come up with some sort of more precise plan for what they will do about Greece. In just the lead up to the summit, there's talks. Of course, everything got thrown into turmoil with Greece's plan for a referendum. And now there's a question that Greece was going to be running out of money quite soon. There had been a plan to provide Greece with more. The IMF is reported to have said that the no money will be provided until after the referendum, but that probably leaves a gap there between when Greece runs out of money and when they were at least planning to hold the referendum. So I expect the big news is they're going to attempt to release from the summit is that somehow they've managed to restore order and actually have a plan that could conceivably work.
Is it likely Obama will concede more power to the other world's leaders like China and Russia?
Well, I think that's hard to say. The U.S. is a little bit on the sidelines in this one, not so much making concessions, but offering unsolicited advice, which has been sometimes rather brusquely slapped down. So I think he's sort of served as a cheerleader in all this and tried to sometimes offer the benefit of U.S. experience, but that's not something the Europeans have been very eager to hear from him or from Secretary Geithner.
What has Obama done thus far to make other world leaders basically laugh at us?
Well, I think that some of the problems that we have had here, like the failure to address our own fiscal problems, have invited some scorn from the rest of the world. That's certainly some Europeans with whom I discuss, they're sensitive these days, so one doesn't want to poke them too hard. But their general rejoinder is, look at the problems you have, that you have all kinds of fiscal problems. You're having things like the debt limit standoff. And so I think the inability to put forward a coherent plan for the country for how we'll manage our own finances, coupled with the fact that we're still in a very weak economic state, means that other countries are nowhere near as anxious to take our advice as they once were.
Okay. So from your point of view, what needs to be done to fix how America is viewed by world leaders?
I think we need to get our own house in order. We need to have a plan that will sort of restore growth above all, that will address our medium and long-term budget problems, which are quite serious, and that look at establishing the kind of economic environment in this country in which people will start businesses and hire or expand existing businesses. And that means undoing some of the uncertainty and damaging regulation that we've accumulated over the last almost 3 years now.
Philip Levy, thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Thank you for having me. Really enjoyed the conversation.
This is The Savage Nation.
Savage.
But if 1,800 companies got a waiver, I mean, that
has
to tell you that,
they're
then it must
companies.
Not be. It's too expensive if 1,800, if you've allowed 1,800 companies to opt out of this plan.
I couldn't speak to all 1,800 of them, but some of the lists that I have seen have been very, very small companies. They will not have a big impact on the economy of our country.
Dungaree doll, paint your initials on my jeans, so everyone in town.
So there it is, CNBC host Maria, whatever, asking the worst speaker in the history of the world, Pelosi, about the 1,800 companies that have been given waivers from Obamacare. And here's Pelosi lying through her teeth once again, saying that these are very small companies that have been given waivers. 1,800 companies. So that means you could get a waiver, whatever you want, a waiver. You just buy your waiver. When you have a corrupt administration, it's like buying a ticket to a game. If you can buy off a congressman who can get you a waiver, you buy a congressman. If it's a bigger company, you buy a senator. If that's not big enough, you go to an Obama fundraiser and you get a waiver. That's how America works today. We're back to the 1920s, the most corrupt administration in history. So here's Pelosi lying through her teeth to Maria of CNBC saying that they're all small companies that got waivers. So listen to clip 28 when Maria catches her.
McDonald's has been given a waiver. So these are not all small companies. So, I mean, do you regret pushing health care as aggressively as you did instead of pushing a jobs package when you had the chance? Maybe we wouldn't be in this position right now if you had all the guns behind this jobs package as opposed to what you had with health care.
No, that's really not the point.
No, that's not the point. The point is that you got away with it because the people were bamboozled by you and your big hammer in the media. That's how. Next, Maria asks Speaker Pelosi, ex-Speaker Pelosi, about her driving the Boeing plant out of business in clip 29. You got to hear this one.
Do you think it's right that Boeing has to close down that plant in South Carolina because it's non-union?
Yes. I don't know if they could close it down. I would hope that they would make it union.
But this is a corporate decision. Yeah. Should government be getting involved in corporate decisions like that?
Well, they can get. You asked me what I thought, and I told you what I thought.
Can you believe that this woman has been made Speaker of the House in your lifetime? Can you believe that this country has fallen to such a low level where a woman like this, who has no idea what she's talking about, she just pushes the position she's told to push without any responsibility for what she's done? It's amazing to me. And then she's the one. Okay, well, you got the picture of what's going on in this country. Thank God what this Maria took her on. Well, one more Maria in clip 30. Listen to this.
Well, I mean, if you're going to say, you know, make a decision on one plant, what else are you going to tell a company?
You asked me my opinion.
Right, your opinion, absolutely.
But the fact is that there's a statement being made in our country about the disparity in income and opportunity for people.
Get off it, will you? One of the richest women in the world, again, playing like hearts and flowers for the poor. How do they get away with this? How? Because you're stupid. Because the American people are just stupid. That's all. Just stupid. That you let her get away with this. So as I said to you, Cain is the antidote to Obama, black versus black. And now we have Maria Bartiromo as the antidote to Pelosi, Italian to Italian. That's what it's going to have to be. We're going to have to break it down on that level. You're going to have an Italian host on MSNBC, on CNBC, taking on Nancy Pelosi. That's Italian versus Italian-American. And then you're going to have Cain taking on taking on Obama. And that's black versus black. I mean, that's what it's probably going to take, because everyone has a special deal in the country. Everyone's hiding behind their ethnicity or whatever. Obama remarks at National Italian-American Gala. This is something that I don't even know if I have I don't think I can play this, because it's so painful to listen to this. The president goes to the National Italian-American Foundation in clip 16. Listen to this. You have to hear it, just one piece of it.
I am biased, but I think Nancy was one of the best speakers of the House this country ever had.
Oh, well, there's no hope for this country. See, it's still based on ethnic politics. Here you have Italian-Americans who, and the most Italian-Americans I know, aside from the Sacco and Vanzetti types. By the way, you think that liberals are limited to a certain ethnicity, you're wrong. The most liberal amongst ethnic groups are the Irish. The next most liberal are the Jewish. The third most, if you find liberals amongst Italians, they're horrible. But the majority of Italians I know are very conservative and very patriotic. Inordinately so. Inordinately so. And here they are cheering Barack Obama? Why? Well, I guess you have to watch Boardwalk Empire to get the picture of why they would cheer the president when he comes before them to speak to them about something he knows nothing about, which is how to build business. That's it. So then he tells them how great the country is because of Sophia Loren, throwing that in the same breath with Da Vinci and Galileo and Frank Sinatra. To just show you the debasement of this culture, that we have a man of such a low caliber that he would link Da Vinci, Galileo, Frank Sinatra, and Sophia Loren together. I mean, I know it's politics, but this is idiocy. This borders on idiocy, by the way. I mean, the jokes were tepid. You know, he throws in the Sophia Loren with the big breasts, and everyone goes, how in the world can this country go on in the year 2011 with this kind of low-level mentality? I mean, even the Europeans wouldn't put up with this, especially them. They have some degree of sophistication. All right, so that covers the sound. That covers the radical red racist media. That covers the bicycles. Now we have Karl Rove, the shill for Mitt Romney. Karl Rove, who I never liked. He always looked pasty-faced. I don't know. I think you can judge a book by its cover to a certain extent. And I think that Karl Rove, unfortunately, I don't know how to put it to you, every time I've ever seen Karl Rove, well, let me start by saying what he's done that got me mad. He's now attacking Cain, saying that Cain's finished. And he's putting out false estimations of Cain being finished. He was the same man who tried to kill Perry. But we all know Karl Rove is just an organization man who works for the Republican Party and hates anybody who's on the outside, which is why he fits so well with the Leprechaun and the Wallbanger on Fixed News, on Phone News, a wholly owned division of the Republican Party. So now he's attacking Cain. And one of the things I found distasteful about Rove is his looks. There's a certain stereotypical pallid look to him where if I were casting a movie about businessmen within the Third Reich, do I have to finish the paragraph? In other words, if I were looking for a central casting characters to play the portly Germans in the background, I'd pick him right off the right out of the line perfectly in McHale's Navy or something like that. But aside from that, I mean, the man is horrible to come up with it. How can he do this to poor old Cain? And Cain says, by the way, he doesn't care. And that shows that Cain is even better than I thought. Cain goes up there and attacks him and says that Cain has begun to slide slightly and don't pay any attention to him. Cain doesn't get moved by Rove's attacks, which is another reason that I like him. And he says to Rove about Rove's antics, he says, it's a good thing the voters are not looking at Karl Rove's little whiteboard, because I believe it is a deliberate attempt to damage me because I'm not quote-unquote the establishment choice. And he did exactly the right thing. He doesn't get mad. He doesn't get flustered. So they try to attack Cain with this nonsense about women, harassment, and they don't even name the women. We're living in the Soviet Union, Jacques, the French Revolution. Poor women, they were harassed by Cain. He looked at them and, oh my, they were just hurt. Their hearts were broken. And they had to go get a lawyer, and they had to get a settlement. Poor women. Oh, poor women. The weaker sex. Let's take the worst-case scenario. Let's say Cain did say to women when he worked for the National Restaurant Association, let's take the worst-case scenario. So he went out, they were all having a dinner or a drink somewhere, and he said, man, you're good-looking. That's a reason to dismiss him as a campaign. that's a reason to dismiss him as a candidate? He said, you're good looking? It's unbelievable to me. How in the world could you people buy this? Politico, by the way, was always a shill for left-wing groups. I don't care what they call themselves. You could just see their faces and what they look like. Not one of them has any validity to them. Their credibility has long been gone, but now you know never to read anything on Politico and pay any attention to it. It's a wholly owned subsidiary of the Obama White House. And we're talking about that, and I could see the border's dead, and we got four calls on the bicycles, and I can't move you on once you get them on. And even the old 103-year-old black woman, I can't move you on to her. Nothing dead. So what am I going to talk about? A nude waitress somewhere? No. Here, to show you what faux news has become. Gingrich's campaign shows signs of life. They take a hack like Newt Gingrich, and now they're trying to elevate him. Why? To undermine Cain in order to promote Mitt Romney. I didn't say Mitt Romney. I said Mick Romney. He is the McDonald's of Republican candidates. So here's faux news saying, after stumbling out of the gate with staff issues and pricey Tiffany's bills, Team Gingrich may have found footing. Oh, that's nonsense. Gingrich is like an old white wall tire that's been, you know, like retreaded, and they redid the white wall on it. Remember the age of the white wall tire? Gingrich is like an old white wall tire that was worn out. They retreaded it, and they gussied up the white on the white wall. He ain't going to drive that car too far, let me tell you. What else is in the news? It's like glue. It's like swimming through a glue bath today on the Savage. And why is this? I am interested in the news. Two women accuse Cain. So they're trying to lynch him. That's all. It's nothing. It's going to go away. Why in the world would you pay attention to this? And why is Matt Drudge trying to shaft Cain like that? Why would he dignify this? It makes you ask a question about all of the media established figures, including Matt Drudge, who I consider a friend of mine. I don't know what he considers me to be, but he is now becoming the equivalent of the New York Times. He's gotten so big that he's actually morphing into the mainstream media. Cain explains an interview. Cain recalls gesture. Cain this. Cain attacked that. What is he doing here? Why is he running this story? Well, I don't know. You have to ask him. It's his site. He could do what he wants. If he wants, he could do it. Tony De La Russa retiring on top. I don't know who he is. Never heard of him. Illegal alien from Honduras stabs woman to death in random act. Yeah, it's interesting. I read it every day anyway. I read my site to see what was put up overnight. They're giving Brian Williams a show? You talk about a retread. This guy should be the spokesman for prostate problems. Brian Williams should do a show on, you know, how to cure a prostatitis attack. Don't bend. It's sickening.
Savage.